employees expressing gratitude at work volunteer for more assignments.
Dean, I'm so grateful for all the ways that you support me.
Wow, I would like to take on more assignments.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to talk about gratitude. Dean, how do you feel about that?
I feel grateful.
Hello. Good morning. Hi. Good afternoon.
Top of the afternoon to you, buddy. How's it hanging over there?
You know what? Really wonderful. We're trying something different today.
What's that?
We're recording on a Saturday. You guys are still going to hear this on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But we're recording on a Saturday, and something about it, I'm really vibing.
It hits like real relaxed. I feel relaxed.
Totally.
Right? Like, who cares? It's the weekend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it gets to be a little later for me.
Oh.
Because usually y'all are having me get on here at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm not ready for it.
I mean, now, I don't know what to tell you. Move back here. I don't know what to tell you. And then you could start at noon.
Why is that your solution to everything? I'm like, oh, my back hurts. You're like, it's because you live in California.
Move back.
Move back. What's going on? How was your week, Bean?
My week was good. Should we just jump right in?
To the cringer delight?
Yeah.
Yes.
One of my favorite.
Usually when I say, so welcome to the podcast, Bean. Right. Usually when I say, how was your week?
Then
I mean, do you have a cringe or a delight? And then you give a cringe or a
delight. Okay. I got
it. Yes.
I feel like I've been doing this. Okay. I can handle that.
I feel like we've done 78 episodes.
Together?
That's a good question. This podcast has 78 episodes.
No. So you did a lot without me. Those were the sad days.
I've done like 20 without you. So let's just say we've done 50 episodes
together.
Wow.
Mazel to us. Let's have a party.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mazel. Okay. Anyway. Cringe, delight?
My delight was that my cousin came in from Idaho. My Uncle Stan often listens to our pod. Shout out, Uncle Stan. Love you.
Uncle Stan. Thanks for listening.
Anyway, his son came in with his kids. I don't get to see him very much, from Idaho, which my middle child kept referring to as Ohio, which I understand the confusion.
You know that's a thing right now, right?
What?
Middle school boys are saying, that's so Ohio.
What does that mean? No, I didn't know that.
Like,
what does that mean?
Lame.
Well, Ohio is an unusual state. Idaho, I feel like, has potatoes. I feel like there's a lot going. It's got a cool shape of state. You know what I mean? Ohio is just like Ohio.
There.
No offense, Ohio. You know what?
We love you, Ohio.
Right. If anyone's listening in Ohio, we love
episode,
you.
We offend one state. Last time it was Florida. Now we're coming for you, Ohio.
All right. Sorry,
but that's
Ohio.
Not our fault. It's these 13-year-old boys.
Yeah, we didn't make it up.
We didn't make it. We're just in the zeitgeist. Okay, so they came from Idaho with their potatoes and the nice shape of their state.
And my aunt and uncle had a lovely little barbecue. We just got to see them and some other people I haven't seen in a long time. And it's just
cute.
It's like delightful. I feel like since COVID, seeing family hits so different.
That's true.
Right? Like, you realize how sad it was to not be around people you really love. And now
Agreed.
When you see them, you're like, wow, what an honor. How much gratitude do I have for this time?
I'm so proud of you. We're not transitioning yet because I still need to talk about my cringe or delight, but good job.
Thanks.
I feel like that too. I wondered if it was because we moved, you know, halfway across the country. We're getting ready to go to the East Coast for our annual beach trip with my entire family in the Outer Banks. We have been excited for like 8 weeks. And I realized that when I lived in Maryland and we did this same beach trip every year, it was fun and I was excited, but like there wasn't this level of excitement leading up to it. And I think that the distance is really made all the hearts grow fonder and everyone is hype.
The expression really does hold true. What's that saying?
It's the heart.
Absence. That's it. I was like, distance.
Yeah, we're so psyched. I have an idea for this trip. So one of the things my family has loved to do for the last 20 years is play Rock Band. Remember Rock Band?
Yes. I used to play Rock Band with you.
In our basement.
Before we had kids. Yeah. Or maybe you had a kid. Yes.
Rock Band, for those of you that don't know, you are not living.
Wow.
That's what I want to say.
Wow.
You're not living
until
you've played Rock Band.
Wow.
Right. But it is an Xbox or PS4 game, I think. But I don't know where the game exists, but it comes with instruments like a guitar, drums, a bass, a microphone, and you plug it all in, and then you play the rock songs to the beat. And it, I don't, anyway, it's just so good. Don't you feel, you feel like a rock star.
If anyone who knows you knows, that's like your ultimate dream, like ultimate, yes, ultimate dream. So she like plugs in and she's amped and ready to become a famous singer.
Rock star. Yeah. Yes.
Rock star.
Which, by the way, a friend of mine here in Santa Barbara and I literally Googled tambourine lessons to see if we could learn how to play tambourine, because that's my dream. My dream is actually to play tambourine in a rock band.
I feel like you could probably teach yourself with like a tambourine. Nope. There's only so many things you can do with it. Shake
it. Excuse me. It's a percussion instrument.
Pat it. I bet you could YouTube it.
Okay.
Your friend sounds neat.
She is actually. She's super fun. Anyway, so that's sort of my delight, is that we're going to go
To
the Outer Banks with my family. And I'm super excited.
Good.
The tambourine lessons also.
Yeah, I didn't know which one you were referring to.
No, but my delight from this week is I finally had the EMDR session I've been talking about. I think I mentioned it a couple episodes.
Yes, and I asked you to tell me about it, and you refused to do it until we were on air.
See, this is authentic, you guys.
Yeah,
this is
get ready
100%
for yeah, yeah,
authentic
reactions,
artisanal reactions,
artisanal breads.
I did my EMDR session yesterday. Holy shit!
Wait.
Yeah,
did you do it after you had a somatic session?
Yes, yesterday was
a day. Holy shit, you were growing.
I couldn't function by the end of the day.
Wow.
I did my somatic coaching session, which was great. Wendy Haynes, y'all, she's it. And then I did my EMDR session like 3 hours later. And it was really amazing. Basically, like the therapist has you talk about what you want to deal with. Mine was this constant pressure I have that everything that I do has to succeed and how much that makes me suffer. Yeah. And so then it's like, where does that idea come from? Goes back to the childhood. What's the moment you remember this? Like, what's the worst belief you had about yourself?
Aww.
Say it. When's the first time you felt it? You close your eyes. She's tapping as you're thinking about it. Then you get to kind of tapping your legs. Like, it's like literally this tapping thing. Because the idea of EMDR.
Yeah.
The idea of EMDR is that there's this motion, either it's lights or tapping, that just helps reroute the like neurons and allows you to just start to write a different story about this thing,
right?
Like whatever this limiting belief system is or this moment of trauma. A lot of people who have had significant trauma find a lot of success in EMDR. Anyway, it was amazing. And then like, how do you imagine it differently? Tapping that in. I just found such a place of total inner peace. And when I got to the bottom of it, she was like, what do you really want? And I was like, I want peace. That's what I want.
What does that mean?
I don't like all of these things that I want to succeed at.
Yeah.
Really are for the sake of just having peace in my life. Like just having things be easy. And having the freedom to not worry about money like I did as a child and all this stuff. And like that at the base of it, the longing is actually just peace. It's just so quiet and peace.
How will that shift your behavior then?
Well, the realization or the thing that like we really tapped in is that I have all of that within me. I don't have to be reaching for it so much all the time. And that when you can sit and exist in that like true place of knowing how all of that is in you, you don't need anything else. And when you don't need anything else, you're not reaching, you're just emitting. You're just sitting and existing and emitting. Whatever you're emitting then attracts whatever your longing is back to you. You don't have to chase it so hard. You don't have to suffer through wanting it so much. You can just exist in the knowing that you have everything you need to make what you want happen. You don't have to be scrambling all the time.
And this is the case for all people? Like you have everything you need? Okay.
This is the case for all people. Absolutely. And your life is evidence of it. But this like EMDR really helped me feel it in my body. That's what it was. I think the difference is like your body shows you what that feeling is like. So then you're like, oh, okay, I know how to go look for this feeling of total stillness inside of me.
So what will you do differently?
Well, we'll see. One thing I know that I will do differently is stop worrying so much about the how.
I mean, that sounds easy.
I always say this, like you I do. Say this to people when I'm coaching them, the how is none of your business. The how is none of your business. But I really like felt it, and I had a felt sense of you're so stressed out about the how and every single podcast episode being perfect and every single Instagram reel and right. the book selling a certain way. Like the how is not going to get okay. you this inner peace. It's just knowing that you want these things for the sake of having an easeful, peaceful life with impact, that like the messages that you have are delivered with love. That was the other message that I got, is like, this is about me giving a gift to the world, which is a loving message of freedom. When you tap into your higher self, you're free of the suffering, of the limiting beliefs. That's a gift. Just offer it without any expectation in return.
I will say, we recorded yesterday and then recorded today on a Saturday. And I said this morning, you look a lot lighter. I think it was before I even knew, or did I?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, you like have a general sense of ease.
Is it this light ring that you have forced me to stick in my face? Because you're telling me it's not.
You were like in a pitch black cave.
I have this light ring, you guys who are listening, who's it's like literally like it's on my face. So if you're on YouTube, you can see it. Okay. Anyway, that's a lot of banter.
Oh, sorry. Wow.
All right. Before we get into gratitude, there's something that we'd like to ask all of you that we will have immense gratitude for, which is that if you love us, if you love this show, if this show has at all been helpful to you, insightful for you, enjoyable to you, one way that you can support us is today to share this episode with at least one person you know. That would be a huge help to us, because the more listeners we get, the more likely we are to continue to be able to make this show and continue with topics that are helpful and promote the show and grow this message. So your support would mean the world to us. Truly, you sharing this with one person you know is going to make a huge difference to Beanie.
Sure.
So please do that today if you don't mind. Thank you. And now on with the show. All right, Bean, gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important.
It sure is. I have gratitude for gratitude.
Well, let's talk about why we wanted to make this episode today. We are constantly being inundated with this message that if you exist in gratitude, all of your problems can be solved. And I think that with most things that are in the self-help world right now, sometimes that message can be a little oversimplified, and sometimes it can leave out real hard truths of life. Like you might just be suffering through a hardship right now, or you might be dealing with a mental illness right now. And it is really hard sometimes to see gratitude as the solution when life is making it hard to exist in the moment.
Right.
So we wanted to have real talk about gratitude today. We are going to talk about the benefits of it and even, you know, what science has shown gratitude can do for someone. But we also want to be really honest about how do you address it when you're having a hard time? How can you actually make gratitude actionable rather than this like whatever, you know, concept that you hear in mindfulness right now that doesn't feel super supportive of your real life?
Totally agree.
You look so entertained by my...
No, I fully agree. I fully agree. And I also was thinking that having experienced more moments of gratitude lately, that I do believe once you start to really recognize it and feel it, it becomes a little easier to have it more frequently.
That's true. So what is your relationship to gratitude then? Like, how do you experience gratitude?
I feel like a lot of my life, while I was grateful, I was constantly anxious and worrying, and it was hard to see and be grateful for the present and what I have and what I've had, because I was constantly obsessed with the future. And I am working really hard at this point in my life to be more in the present moment. And I'm trying to teach my children that it's critical to, even in the hardest of times, which I will say to your credit, you have always attempted to make this, illuminate this for me during any challenges in my life. Like, well, what is your lesson you learned here? Or what can you be grateful for? Or what's good that's going on? But it was always, I was always like, shut up. But now I'm getting it and I'm passing it down to my children that they're even in the darkest of days, in the hardest of moments, just the way one person might text or show up. There's like tiny little pockets of things mm-hmm. that you are able to find gratitude for. It doesn't have to be mm-hmm. for your entire life and your entire day, because a lot of it can be shitty and hard. But mm-hmm. it's important to look for moments that you're grateful for and things that you're grateful yeah. for. And it doesn't have to be a fancy car. It can be your 5-minute coffee break on your deck in the morning. It doesn't have yeah. to be something grand and huge. So my relationship now is finding a lot of gratitude in smaller moments, which I actually think adds yeah. up to a greater amount of happiness than only having sure. gratitude like on a sick vacation or what have yeah. you. Yeah. And you? So and true. You, ma'am? I feel like you're feel better like than gratitude. Me.
No, I don't think there's a better. I think there's a times when you're in it and times where you're really not in it. And sometimes we remind each other.
Yeah, agreed.
But my gratitude for me feels so a part of my DNA, because it is literally all that my grandmother ever talked about. Azizi June, who I talk about a lot, my mom's mom, has been such a massive influence on the work I do, for sure. Like, I think she handed her gifts down to me. And one of the things that she would always say is, when you find gratitude, everything will look up. When you are yeah. able to find gratitude, everything will change in your perception and your totally. Perspective. And she was just, I mean, and this woman embodied this. It wasn't like she said it and then she walked around grumpy. She right. was the happiest person you'd ever, you remember her.
Yes.
The happiest like my bubby. Person yeah, you'd ever meet. And it was because she'd say like, well, thank you for that. Thank God for that. Like every little thing that she experienced, she would just remind me as a kid to find gratitude for it. And another way that it was always like built into my head is that when I was little, I used to sleep with my mom in her bed, and she would always teach me, before you go to sleep, just start to list all the things you're grateful for. Like Ooh. Instead of praying for things,
right?
Say Wanting, what you're grateful needing. For.
Right.
And I do that every night before I go to sleep. It's like a little whisper that I do. Yeah. Every night. I've done it ever since I was a little. Aww. And my little sweet boy, who I still like lay with before he goes to bed.
Right.
Every night I ask him, what are 3 things you're thankful for? And every night he was in a little phase where he would list the same 3 things, but he's mixing it up a little. And the other wow. night, it was so cute. He was like, I'm thankful for the, like, I don't know. He had like a fun time with his friend. I'm thankful for this friend. I'm thankful for the Frisbee you just bought me. And oh. I'm thankful for Kaya, our dog. But it was like such a good reminder of like, look at that little thing, this $6 Frisbee that truly right. brought this kid so much joy that right. I'm giving him a chance to remember gratitude right. for it. So it's really a part of the way we live our lives. And I have to thank my grandmother and my mom for that, because that was the like foundation on which so much of the way that I look at the world was wow. built on.
I love yeah. that. And it is really yeah. a lot about perspective. So I love that.
Yeah. And look, I mean, we said there's evidence for how gratitude can really help. Yeah. You got some? I got some.
You oh, got what's some? Your evidence? You want to show me yours? Oh, yeah, all right. Some.
Yeah.
I just was reading a couple articles, and one was about, and I feel like I can attest to this because I have been on both sides of this in my marriage, studies that indicate that when partners who express their thankfulness to each other often could sustain their relationship with mutual trust, loyalty, and had long-lasting mm-hmm. happy relationships. I mean, one of the chronic things I think in marriages in particular that I hear from my own friends is this lack of appreciation from their partner, right? Like right. a lack of awareness of how much work goes into running a home and taking care of kids and keeping up with your job, and vice versa. I mean, also for our husbands. I'm just hearing it from my own female friends. But it's true, when you're feeling honored for all of the hard work you're putting in, it makes it seem, I feel like it builds less resentment. It makes it seem more, I don't know what the word is, but I feel wholer when I feel like my husband understands yes. the amount of work I'm putting in, which kind of is shitty, I guess, because I should be able to no. feel it on my own. But it's nice to hear the gratitude yeah, from him.
Absolutely.
And then it's a cycle. Then I'm great. I express my own gratitude about something he did. I actually just did it right before we hopped on. He was like being nice. Super helpful. I sent him a text like, you're being so helpful. It feels so supportive. And then he said something nice back. Yeah, it was like this lovely little cycle of like gratitude. So that's one. Couples, that's great. Positive psychology and mental health researchers have established an overwhelming connection between gratitude and good health. And I instantly thought of my grandmother, who is one of the most positive human beings I have ever encountered in my life. And she is 93 and she is in fantastic shape, physically, mentally, everything. And she has practiced gratitude for as long as I have known her. I mean, she thinks her family is the best of the best of the best. And she's constantly telling strangers how wonderful, and everyone says, how do you stay so young? How do you look so great? How do you feel so great? And she's always like, such a loving family. I have the best family there is. And she's always so grateful for it. And she always has fun, and she loves everywhere she goes out to eat and does and all. She just loves to have fun. And I think that it's kept her really, really young.
No doubt.
No doubt. No diggity. No doubt, Bubby. The best. So that employees who practice, this is awesome, expressing gratitude at work are more likely to volunteer for more assignments. Write that down. Willing to take an extra
step. I'm so grateful for all the ways that you support me.
Wow. I would like to take on more assignments. willing to take an extra step to accomplish their tasks and happily work as part of the team. Managers and supervisors who feel grateful and convey that to their employees have a stronger group cohesiveness and better productivity. So it works in your marriage. It works for your health, for your own self. It works in your place of employment. And then there's a woman who owns a meditation training site. She did write something that said that it's basically like, I mean, I'm not discounting the power and the need for antidepressants and medication, but she referred to it as a natural antidepressant because the effects when practiced daily can be almost the same as medications because it produces a feeling of long-lasting happiness and contentment. I think that's a big thing is the contentment. Yeah, that you feel when you see, when you practice gratitude on the daily. Like, I am grateful for this. Therefore, I feel good and happy because look at all this I have to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it says the physiological basis of which lies at the neurotransmitter level.
Right. It alters your brain chemistry. Literally. There's studies that have shown that practicing gratitude, it can actually change the brain's neural pathways. Like, literally change the pathways of the way that information is moving in your brain. And it promotes then, of course, if the neural pathways are changing, then it's promoting this feeling of happiness and well-being. And they've also seen that it activates areas associated with dopamine production. So the more gratitude that, you know, is practiced in these research studies as they're studying the brain, there's more dopamine that's literally being produced in the brain. So there is a real physiological chemical reaction that comes from this practicing of gratitude. Which I believe we talk a lot about consciousness and the way that you perceive the world is what your reality is on this podcast. I believe that it has to do with when we are telling ourselves that we are great, that we are lucky, that we are grateful for whatever we're experiencing. It's literally changing our perception of the world that we're operating in, which is changing our brain chemistry.
Perception it is all, everything.
Exactly. It's all interrelated. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, really what gratitude is about is shifting your perception. It's like, think about changing the channel, right? Like you're watching something and it is deeply dark and depressing and anxiety inducing, that when you're able to find gratitude, it's like flipping to something really bright and light and puppies running through a field. Like your entire perception of the world you're living in flips to a different channel, which then enables you to find more and more things that you see that add to that gratitude, which is literally creating dopamine in your brain. So it's allowing you to find more things to be grateful for.
And I feel like you feel lighter almost. You feel less weighted down by all of this negative energy and negative thoughts, whereas gratitude is like lighter and kinder.
Yes. There's also studies that have shown that if you practice writing down what you're grateful for, or like I was saying, like prayer for us and our family is saying to the universe, to God, what we're grateful for, that you can sleep better. There's sleep studies that have shown that keeping a gratitude journal, when people do it at nighttime, that they're sleeping better than people who do not stop to take that moment of gratitude. So it's bringing down your nervous system, I think, too, and reminding your anxious mind that there are other thoughts beside the anxiety.
Right. Right. I love. But truth talk, don't mean to be Debbie Downer like I like to be. It's not that easy. And a lot of people are super depressed. And a lot of people are living in really hard conditions. You know, you lose your job right before Christmas and then your car breaks down. And there's so many things that it can be hard.
I feel like you're telling us
I'm so sorry.
A sad tale that is a Hallmark Christmas movie. Did you watch this on Hallmark?
No, I just made it up in my ungrateful brain. Anyway, how do you though? Like when you're in those moments, and I'm pretty positive we've all been there. I mean, I didn't have my car break down before Christmas, but we've had those moments where you're like, nothing is going right. I feel like total shit all the time. How are you able to find any moments of gratitude when you're living in that mindset?
I'm grateful that as a Jew, you've talked about Christmas for the last five
minutes. I thought it was relatable.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's really real. That is real. And I've had moments in my own life of like deep depression.
Yeah.
And moments in my life of people really close to me in deep depression who look at me and they're like, what is there to be grateful for?
Right.
Especially when there's been a death, there's been a significant loss. Right. Like when you're in deep, deep grief, when there's poverty, which I've, you know, lived through, it's really hard to find gratitude. And I will tell you, during this EMDR session, actually, that I mentioned, if you fast forwarded our banter, then you missed out. But
your loss.
One of the things we talked about in this EMDR session was that experience of watching my mom struggle when she was a single mom financially, and how in those moments, I remember so clearly my grandmother in the kitchen being like, what is there to be grateful for right now? And like making me say it. What are you grateful for right now?
Really?
In this moment of extreme stress. Of extreme, oh my God, I'm watching my mom really stressed out.
Right.
Oh, well, I got to, there's a park outside our house. We live in a place where there's a park outside our house. And like really helping me remember that even in the most extreme circumstances,
there's always something
to be grateful for. Yeah. So I will say the first answer to your question, always for me, is start small.
Right.
Like you said it, those tiny day-to-day little things, just acknowledging in those really hard times the tiniest thing that you have gratitude for. For Azzy's June, it was always your breathing, your limbs work, your, you know, like whatever level of health you're at.
Right.
This is what I'm grateful for, is this level of health that I am existing in right now. But it can be anything. It really is about finding the tiniest thing in the moment that you can just have some gratitude for.
I'm even thinking back when I had my foot surgery 2 years ago and I was in the depths, darkest depths of depression. Yeah. It may have been one of the darkest times of my life.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find joy in anything. I was crying a lot from my bed. And then I would talk to you and I would get off and I would have for like a moment, like, I am so grateful that I have her. And I feel like I would have gone deeper down had I not been temporarily like lifted by that thought of like, thank God I have her by my side. Okay. That's all.
Okay.
It is the little things, but that's what I'm saying. Like I was in a fucking hole. Ooh, sorry. It was a really hard place for me.
We curse on this podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. It was like almost past some of my postpartum depression levels of it was dark and it was hard.
Well, and let's be clear, moment. It wasn't just a foot surgery. It was a lot of things happening in your life simultaneously that you were starting to have massive awareness around.
Yes.
While you were having this foot surgery.
And I was stuck
everything
in the bed.
Came together in that moment, like an avalanche.
It did.
You.
It did.
And
it
you couldn't really, move.
Yeah. I couldn't get out of bed for weeks on end. Yeah. It was really rough. But there were these like tiny pockets. Or my friend Sarah dropped by one day and just brought me coffee. Like I couldn't get out of bed. So she just came into my room and brought me some coffee and a book. And we just sat and talked for like 30 minutes. And it was like sustained me for 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So little tiny things like that. The other thing that I think is really important in finding gratitude in really, really dark or hard times is just practicing some self-compassion.
That's hard.
You know, where it's really hard.
Really hard.
First of all, recognizing it's okay that I'm feeling this way.
Right.
I always tell people, you're anxious right now? Okay.
That's
like, how about we just accept it? The more you fight it, the harder it is the more likely it is, sorry, that it's going to stick around.
Right.
So this is a feeling I'm having in this moment. And then be nice to yourself. Treat yourself with empathy. How would I treat someone I adore who's having this tough time? If this person, my best friend, my family member, my sister, whatever, was having this tough time, how would I talk to them? Speak to yourself that way. That's going to allow you to see the gratitude in the smaller things because it opens that tiny doorway of compassion.
Right.
And compassion and gratitude, I think, are really go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So it's really important to have that kind of compassion for yourself.
And then I think it shifts your mindset also simultaneously. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're going down this dark path, mm-hmm, and then you have this break of like, but I'm really grateful for this. And then,
yes,
you shift back.
Yes, totally. Here's another one that, yeah, really works for me when I'm feeling depressed is really reflecting on my own past resilience. Like,
nice,
in the moment,
nice,
where it is the lowest low.
Yeah.
To just remind myself and have gratitude for, do you remember when ...
Right.
Do you remember how you then got out of that moment?
Right.
Like, you are the one, you're the holder of the keys that are going to unlock this thing.
Right.
How grateful I am for that resilience in myself in the past. So finding gratitude for the moments in the past where you've had resilience to give your brain evidence that you're
like
capable
you
of this resilience, and that this is a moment in time that will be followed by a different moment in time.
We're trying to have gratitude for all the phases. I'm working on that right now with my kids getting older and older, and I'm like constantly,
yeah,
like, I can't believe how fast it's moving. I can't believe, but I'm like, you need to be thankful for the now.
Yes.
This, you know, this moment,
yeah,
you're never going to get this time with at this age back. Like, yes, they're getting,
yes,
older, but you're so worried about that you're not enjoying and being grateful for their current ages.
Yeah. Gratitude for all the phases. That's really good. I love,
yeah,
that. Also gratitude for your support systems.
Yeah.
I mean, this can be done if in a hard time or not, but it's so important to be reflective of who does exist around you that does love and support you.
Right.
And just take a moment in your heart to feel gratitude that that human being exists in your life.
Right.
And that I guarantee it's more than one human being.
Yes.
That those multiple human beings exist in your life. I was driving yesterday thinking about this beach trip coming up and proposing Rock Band to my family.
Wow.
And everyone was like, we're chatting on this thread. And I thought, man, we love each other so much.
Aww.
Like, we really love each other so much. It's kind of intense.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I just had this moment of like, wow, this love has been sustaining for decades.
Wow. Are you going to cry right now?
A little.
Oh,
but it's a big deal to have like that many people who are so obsessed with one another.
Yeah.
That we have sustained each other. I'm 43 years old for 43 years and beyond that before me, you know, with my mom and her family. So
right,
having gratitude for the support system around you really reminds you of your value. Like, look at how precious I am to this person or
right,
these people who love me so much and
right,
who have continued to show up for me.
I have gratitude for everyone loving you and showing up for you in that way. I have gratitude for your tight-knit family.
Well, I think we both really share that in common. Like, that's why I think we're so comfortable with each other's families.
Yes.
Because your family is very,
very,
very similar.
Tight-knit. Yes.
No, and there's a lot of love and support.
A
like,
lot.
There's a lot of adoration for you. Everything,
yep,
you do is like celebrated as the,
yeah,
best thing that's ever happened. And they're right. It is.
Right. It is.
So we share that. But I think really like finding that is really important.
Agreed. Fully
so, yeah,
agreed.
So I don't know. Does that feel like practical? I don't want to have this be all light and puppies. I'm hoping that what we're saying is there are small ways to find the gratitude, but also acknowledge the hard feeling you're in. Have compassion for,
yes,
yourself. Be kind to yourself. Remember that you have been resilient in the past. Can you find gratitude for that resilience? And then remember the people who love and support you. Can you find gratitude for them? Because they exist. And aren't you thankful that they do?
And I do really like your grandmother's tip of the gratitude for your health and well-being. Because honestly...
Always.
We always take it for granted, always, until
always,
something horrible happens. And you,
correct,
say, oh my gosh, I couldn't live like this. right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Really having gratitude for your abilities as they are now.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, that was deep. That was actually much I kind of thought this was going to be like a light frou-frou episode in like a nice way. Like, we're grateful. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. No, but I want it to be real.
I agree.
And look, what we didn't talk about is like, what happens when you're struggling with a mental health issue, right, or a mental health moment?
Right.
Listen, same advice. Same advice. I have anxiety that can lead to depression that can last for weeks at a time, sometimes months. And I absolutely have to tell you, I practice what I preach. The same exact things I'm saying to you about tough moments, I think apply to when you're having a mental health crisis or a mental health moment, is the same thing. Start small, look at your resilience, look at your support system. That can help some of the fog of that moment. For me, depression feels like a really heavy fog. It can help, like, it feels like little tiny strands of sunlight that can just break through that fog. And the more I focus on those little strands of sunlight, they grow in intensity and they expand and they kind of push the fog away. So this applies to that too.
I think the concept of gratitude, I think the small idea, approaching it from a smaller standpoint, is a nice tool. Because you don't have to be grateful for every minute of your life.
No.
You don't have to find gratitude when whatever. I was going to say something really morbid. You don't have to find gratitude in every moment. You just have to find something to be grateful for in those moments.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's okay to be angry about the things that are happening in your life too. Like, gratitude and anger do not have to be in conflict with one another. That's what why I said self-compassion, because it's okay just to acknowledge, I'm really angry right now that I lost my job and I'm stressed about money.
Of course.
I'm angry about that. And I'm grateful that this morning the cat came and sat and purred on my chest.
Right?
Like, both of those things can coexist. We don't have to pick. We always feel, I think, as humans, like we have to select the way we're going to see the world.
Right.
And it's got to be one or the other.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not. It's multidimensional. So know that you can feel the hard feelings and incorporate gratitude simultaneously.
I think that's the big takeaway. I don't even have to do my takeaway today because that was the big takeaway. Don't you feel like that's it? That it doesn't always have to be this massive thing?
Yeah.
But I still do want some tools, some hard, fast tools. You know, I like my tools.
For what? To how to like cultivate gratitude.
Yes, because I like it to be listed out for me.
Okay. I really recommend this end of the day gratitude practice.
I like it.
For me, again, it's laying in bed. I've already said goodnight to TJ. The TV is off. Like, this is the moment right before I fall asleep. I just say, thank you so much for, and then I just start listing.
It's probably a great way to quiet the mind too at bedtime, which which is always a hard time for a lot of people.
Totally. So whether that is something that you're just whispering, something that you're writing down in a gratitude journal, but some kind of ritual at the end of your day just to express even the tiniest gratitude for whatever exists in your life is the number one thing that I suggest. The second tool, expressing appreciation to other people.
Yes.
Finding a moment to thank other people in your life for whatever they're doing. Yesterday I said, after the EMDR session to the person who did it, like, I am so grateful for you because you created such an opening for me. And I felt this gratitude towards her so deeply. So finding ways to express appreciation for the people around you is going to help build that dopamine, change those neural pathways too, is if you say it out loud to somebody else.
And then I think it's like a kind of like a chain, you know, then she in that moment felt positive and had gratitude for feeling appreciated, and then we'll pay it forward to somebody else as well.
Yeah, totally. The third thing I do are these little like gratitude walks.
Oh.
So it might be a little cheesy, but I will go outside, and you guys know I always think nature is the answer to every single problem.
I'm starting to think it as well.
Because it's true. I will go outside. I will take a walk, usually with Kaya, the puppy, and just seriously look at things and feel gratitude for them. Like, I live near the ocean. I am constantly like looking at the ocean and so grateful right. that I get to look at the ocean every day. Or the other day, TJ and I were walking, there was 10 dolphins just jumping around. Like I had such immense gratitude that I got look at that. So whatever it is, you're walking past trees, flowers, find a way to feel gratitude in your core for nature and for the way that it just constantly is there. It is always there.
Uninterrupted energy.
Yes. Always yes. there. Always. And can you go out there and just sit in that energy and find gratitude for that? That's another way to practice gratitude. Great. You can?
I can. I mean, yeah, I do find a lot of peace outside.
Yeah. So do it. Listen, those of you with families, by the way, like with little kids, we used to do this thing called a gratitude jar, where you just had this jar there and throughout the day, like write down little things you're grateful for, throw them in the jar and count how many are in them at the end of the week.
Oh.
And I would like, you know, give a little prize or whatever. Like if
we had a happy jar. We had a happy jar where you would write down like experiences we had and we would fold them up and put them in the jar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just about training yourself and those that you love to look for the things that are going well so that you can, like we talked about in the science of it, allow your brain to release that dopamine, which is going to allow you to have a more expanded view of what is good in your life.
Love.
Bean, I'm so grateful for you.
I'm really grateful for you. I say it all the time.
Listen, you and I have wobbles a lot around this podcast because it takes so much work and we're just not sure people are listening.
Yes.
Although we do have the data that shows they are. So thank you for listening. But we get in our own heads and convince ourselves that it doesn't matter because imposter syndrome is loud.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, I am so grateful for this podcast because it is such a platform for you and I to just have such deep conversations every week that we may not usually have. And what I'm hearing in response is that people are really grateful for the message. So
I'm so grateful for that. This podcast
is my gratitude. Right. And we're grateful for you guys for listening.
Yes.
So thank you for continuing to listen every week, sending us messages, letting us know that it's making a difference.
Yes.
Really, really helps. So thank you for that. And please continue to do it. And Bean, I think we do still need to do Melissa's famous takeaway.
Oh,
so
all right.
Take us away.
I really don't have anything mind-blowing to say. There was no – My greatest takeaway was that it's critical to find small moments that don't make gratitude for gratitude, that it doesn't have to be this all or nothing mentality. You can have moments of gratitude even in the darkest of days. There is always something teeny, teeny, tiny, no matter how awful it feels. Teeny tiny. If you giggled one day at something your friend sent you on social media, it was like one moment of your day where you found joy.
Yeah.
And I think it will shift the way you see the world if you continue to pay attention to that.
Yes. Perfectly said, as always, Bean.
Bean.
Thank you for such a great conversation. Guys, thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Signal. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to our sound editors, Armand Kassam and Anushree Thekadeth. Make sure to join us next week for another episode.